The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Early to bed, early to rise. That was the Missouri Tigers. And our signing class is complete. Let's practice. And then they got spring practice done. They've been done for a week. Eli and them, and they had things to work on beyond the depth chart and quarterback and whatever else. New coaches, maybe safety net coaches coming on board now. All kinds of good stuff going on. I don't know. Win double-digit games, beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. That's pretty good. Want to welcome on right now, PowerMizzou.com. It's a Rivals. Join us, Gerard Hamilton. Gerard, welcome back. How you doing, friend?
What's going on, Chuck?
I'm pretty good today. I appreciate your time. So Mizzou wrapped up practice Saturday a week ago. Tell me what you think Eli's kind of main takeaways are following their spring game.
I think the biggest thing is they were preaching, you know, individual development and improvement through spring ball. So they wasn't too much worried about, you know, getting in that new defense set, I guess, necessarily, with Corey Bethune coming in being the defensive coordinator. They're just worried about kind of getting everybody a little bit better, especially some of those younger guys. I think they've got almost 70% production returning this year. So they're trying to get the players they got to be a little bit better and get some of these new guys coming along.
It seemed to me, and this is from afar, obviously you're at practice every day, it seemed to me, I saw the thing with the Cotton Bowl rings and his comments about, hey, it's just the next one. I don't think that's false. I think he mugs for the camera a little bit, but it looks like Eli is running a pretty confident program with a confident staff and some confident kids, and Missouri and the SEC, that's kind of a surprise to some people.
I mean, but again, like I said, to bring it back 70% of their production, including Brady Cook at quarterback, Luther Burden, who people think is going to be a top, you know, 10 to 15 pick in the 2025 draft, should he declare. They've got that. And the schedule, when you look at their schedule, I mean, it's not really, there's nothing easy in the SEC, but think about the teams they avoid this year and in 25. You know, there's no LSU, no Georgia. I don't think there's no Tennessee, there's no Texas. I think there's no Ole Miss. Like, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, it's easy, because, again, nothing's ever easy. But when you see how many of those teams that they don't have to face, and they're, you know, the new signing class is coming up, the recruiting's doing well, and they're coming off a good season with all this production coming back, you can see the reasons why they are this confident.
Tyron Hopper, we've talked about this. Hopper, Bailey, they're going to be in the NFL. Talk Corey Flagg. He's a name folks may know from Miami.
Yeah, the linebackers coach DJ Smith said, you know, he's been pretty impressed with him. He's another veteran, you know, type of guy. Yeah, he played tons of ball at Miami. I think he had around, you know, 44, 45 tackles last year. And, I mean, that may be one of his lowest totals. But, I mean, he's been productive. He can fill in at that middle linebacker position. And now they kind of have, like, a three-man rotation with him, Chuck Hicks, and Tristan Newsom. And then, like you mentioned, losing Tyron Hopper and Chad Bailey, they're not really worried about it. Those two dealt with injuries last year quite a bit. So Chuck Hicks and Tristan Newsom, they got plenty of experience playing. They have plenty of experience starting together. So it's not like they're kind of total second there. They're pretty confident with that move.
All right, go back to the final level. I don't know, a four-star corner out of St. Louis that goes to Clemson? That's like just sight unseen. I'm interested. Tell me more. Where Toriano Pride Jr. has transferred back home, and Eli did a little raving about him. He had a pick in the spring game, I think. Talk Toriano Pride Jr. Again, we see four-star, and he went to Clemson, and we assigned a lot of value to him. What kind of ball player might he be?
I mean, when you look at him, he looks more of like a safety. I mean, he's pretty bulked up to be a corner. But, yeah, they like him. They were high on him. They were high on Drayden Norwood, who was a cornerback three the last couple of years behind Chris Abeltrain and Ennis Wakestraw. So they're really loving the cornerbacks. But, yeah, they think Toriano can be that, you know, CB1, CB2 guy along with Drayden Norwood. And they were pretty happy with his progress. The thing for the transfers, this whole thing is, yes, improvement, but kind of, I guess, getting them comfortable, you know, in the system, getting them comfortable in Columbia. But, yeah, that all these positive things we were talking about when it came to Toriano Pride.
Wrapping up, Gerard Hamilton, get him at PowerMizzou.com, folks. Go there if you're a Missouri fan or you're a fan of somebody who plays the Tigers. PowerMizzou.com is where you want to go. It's a Rivals thing. All right, over the weekend, Sean Gleason, he's got skins on the wall. He's OC at Oklahoma State, at Rutgers. He's at Mizzou now as an analyst. My first thought was this is the insurance policy in case Kirby Moore continues to be on people's radar. He's a hot enough candidate. Tell me what you think about Sean Gleason now that he's in the fold.
You say he's Sean Gleason's at the fold. Say that one more time.
Sir?
Hello?
Yeah, I got you, Gerard.
It broke up. You said something about...
Oh, yeah, Sean Gleason, the former OC at Oklahoma State and Rutgers. He's there now as an analyst. Is that just the insurance policy against Kirby Moore continuing to do a great job?
Kirby Moore is doing an excellent job. I mean, I don't know if I can necessarily say if it's insurance or not, but I'm sure he'll be key in kind of helping this program this year, and that could be an option. But for now, I mean, it seems like Kirby Moore is, you know, staying on board, and I mean they can only do it with who they got right now. So I think they're liking Kirby. Kirby likes it there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, that turns out to be a contingency down the line for sure.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Eli's putting that final thing on the resume. He's kind of showing that he can hire, and that's always the key if you're going to have some continuity. Gerard, I appreciate your time, friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
Gerard Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. You don't want to have to actually start calling people. You can just go down the hall. Mike Bobo, again, we talked about that with Kirby. Todd Monken, two straight national championships. I want to go to the NFL. Kirby's like, get back to me if it works. Hey, I got hired by the Ravens. Oh, hang on. Walking down the hall. Hey, Mike, want to be OC? Sure. All right, put out a press release. It can be that simple. Doesn't always have to be any sort of huge deal. But what you want is someone in the building just as an in case. And it is just modern-day college football that you can get a guy that at least right now, see, it's March 25th. If there is a hiring, I'm talking like the NFL or somebody else on the staff gets tired or whatever. In fact, I would say it wouldn't be unusual if by the time we get to August, I don't know, half the teams in the SEC have had coaching changes at some position, if not a coordinator, but certainly at a position. Wouldn't surprise me at all. This guy's going to move around for whatever reason. So Sean Gleason's in the room, and good for Eli.
Yeah, it's a really interesting move because so often, Chuck, you have a guy and he has a certain profile and you just sort of know, okay, this guy is going to ascend. He's going to get his shot at a head coaching job and then, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. A guy like a Jake Spavital, for example, you know, first he kind of comes on the scene as, oh, he's part of that Johnny Manziel era A&M and you know he's going to get a chance and he gets to be a coordinator and then he gets to be a head coach. Gleason appeared to be on that path. You know, whatever you think about Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State has shown a knack for finding OCs and pretty successful ones at unusual places. And so he hires Gleason away from Princeton, and he was considered to have done a pretty good job at Oklahoma State in 2019. And then he decides to go to Rutgers with Greg Schiano, and it just kind of never seemed to gel there at Rutgers for whatever reason. You know, it seemed like a perfect fit. He'd worked in Jersey and Princeton before, going back to be the all-Jersey staff that Schiano was putting together. And I got to wonder if Gleason still is thinking, man, if I had just stayed put at Oklahoma State, I would have been on maybe the Dana Holgorsen path, get that smaller college job, and then if that goes well, get a power job and go from there. He could have been set up for something pretty good, and we'll see now whether or not he can kind of put some shine back on that star at Missouri in the next year or two.
We talked earlier about Trevor Etienne, and I don't know. I looked. I saw the police report. Rodney Nabolsi had the police report, and he redacted the address and whatever else, but I couldn't find. I've been looking to see what Trevor Etienne was driving, and the charge was DUI, and it was reckless driving. I didn't see anything about speed involved, and so I don't know. Reckless driving, did he get on a sidewalk? Whatever it was, but I was looking to see what kind of car is involved, because I started looking at this about this time last year when I realized a lot of the stories where they were identifying the automobile bubble, that they would, there was a thread weaving through it, and it was about the level of car involved. If we go back, you can Google your computer and you can find all kinds of stories about this. But in fact, there was something in USA Today. If you Google Alabama football players, Dodge Charger, there are multiple, I think it was a USA Today article specifically about Alabama players and Dodge Chargers, but there were regular conversations about why college athletes, and in particular, so many college football players drive a Dodge Charger. I will give you now, and this used to be, because it ain't the case anymore, but it used to be, if you go back to like 2019, basically, like pre-COVID, before things got weird and then name, image, likeness happened and changed everything. The reason so many college football players drove Dodge Chargers is because for about $23,500, you could get you a four-cylinder with some side molding, and the back was raised just a little bit, and it looked like it had teeth to it, and it kind of drove fun, and so whatever. But it was not a very expensive car. It was attainable. What I started noticing about a year ago, and is following the tragedy in Athens and the speed and everything else, and in that case, it was SUVs. One of the big changes since name, image, likeness became a thing, the vehicles a lot of the athletes are driving now, they're not four cylinders that look like they can bite. It's not a Dodge Charger anymore. It's a Challenger with a full Hemi. It's a Dodge Hellcat. You know what a Hellcat is? Go 200 miles an hour. Do you know what a Dodge Demon is? They take out the back seat and they make it like a drag racer. Like, they make it as light and powerful as possible. And it's street legal. And so when you were a kid who was getting to go to Purdue or Florida State or Louisiana Tech for free, you know what mom and dad might be able to do, because, well, they're freed up from paying all your expenses now, we might be able to swing a four-cylinder Dodge Charger for about $23,500. Now, you're getting the Hellcat for about $78,000. And it'll go 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, folks. So it's a bad idea for anybody to be driving that car. It's not a good idea for an 18-year-old to have a car that looks tough, because he wants it to perform that way as well, which is why a lot of kids got themselves in trouble with the Dodge Charger. When you're giving them Challengers, Hemis, and Corvettes, and Lamborghinis, folks, it's predictable what's going to happen. My hand, when we're all, me included, Heath, David, y'all, I don't know. I look back now, when I was 19, I'm surprised I put my socks on before my shoes most days. Like, I was just, I had no clue about the world. And I drove an IROC. So, it's what we do when we're that age, except now it's a Lambo or a Dodge Challenger Demon. So that's what that is, and I have not been able to find what kind of car Trevor Etienne's driving, but understand he just landed in Athens for a reason, and some of them are green. All right, we're going to take a break. We will continue next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Monday, Chuck Oliver Show. We have spring games being completed, wrapping up, and all of this is based now around, you hope, this is what you hope, is that when the, now the spring portal period, which last year I think opened on like May 1st, spring portal period is April 15th through the 30th. That's the 15 days where you can go harvest. And you want as much evaluation of your own team. You certainly want that done. All right, what do we need? All right, portal, could y'all hang on? We're not ready yet. We don't have our spring game for another 6 days. No, we're not waiting. So you want to have evaluated your own team first, certainly. I've said there is a value to a coach, to a scout, to an evaluator, personnel person. There is a value that you cannot replicate. A value to being in person, to watching it at game speed or practice speed or live speed. There is our ability to digest and process and retain. There's one time I've said, Tommy Bowden, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I don't know how he was, but maybe he was Leona Helmsley behind closed doors. I have no idea. Look it up. Tommy Bowden, he was such a nice, nice person to me because I travel over there. And like one time he stopped me like 10 minutes late going out to practice because he had something scheduled, whatever. He was just a nice guy. Always very accommodating. Remember one time the opposite was true. I wound up having to wait about 4 hours to talk to him. And so they allowed me to go into a coach's office and I was just sitting there and they had this big trash can on wheels full of VHS tapes. It was 2005. And so I just start popping in tapes, and it's just cut-ups of Wake Forest special teams, Wake Forest defense, NC State offense, just whatever. And I'd seen this stuff before. Everybody has. Everybody, go to YouTube. What coaches tape, coaches film, all 22. Do you know what happens? Like, somebody thinks they're Stanley Kubrick, and they're about to win an Academy Award for film editing. If, like, the closer to the snap they edit this thing, like, they're going to get a bonus or something. Now, you can watch an entire game of defensive snaps. Heath, you ever watch one of these game cut-ups? Like, you can watch an entire, like, the Missouri defense. Every snap the Missouri defense played last Saturday in, like, 7 minutes.
No, it's very helpful that you can catch up on things on YouTube now. People do amazing stuff.
You can watch the cut-up of the Tulane offense. It's every snap, all 81 of them from the previous Saturday, and it takes like 8 minutes, and you watch because they cut it so close. You know what you don't do? You don't really process. You don't really retain. There is some sort of value to, I don't know, we play Tennessee this year. Their game's on right now. We're just going to watch it. I've always said you play on Thursday or Friday or whatever, and when you are forced, you can't watch the cut-up because the game's happening live. When you're sort of, quote, forced to watch a game at game speed, at regular, like, clock speed, there is an advantage of digesting that and processing and retaining that you just don't get when, I mean, as soon as the ball carrier hits the first blade of grass, all right, next play. Let me breathe, man. Let me think about what just happened. So that's the, like for Eli, big, big advantage. That whole staff. I'm just really, Eli is trending in my brain. In my personal brain rankings, Eli's trending. What's up, Heath?
So there's a really interesting story that's going to play out one way or the other here pretty soon, maybe as soon as by the end of Monday, which is John Calipari and Kentucky. You got a situation where you've got a Kentucky basketball coach who, to get rid of him, they're going to have to pay $33 million right now. And part of why they might potentially want to do that is that there's just a feeling that, you know, the program's kind of plateaued. He's only won one NCAA tournament game since 2019. But the other part of it, and the part that brings it around to football to me, Chuck, is that think about this. You know, we've seen Mark Stoops, Kentucky head coach for football, butt heads a little bit with Calipari. Calipari, hey, yep. we're a basketball school. And it kind of almost like a pat on the head for football. And Stoops kind of bristled at him and gave him the, you know, hey, we've done more than you have recently type of deal. part of why they might be able to do this is that obviously they chose to keep Mark Stoops around and commit money to him long term. If they had let him go, if they had let him actually go and go to Texas A&M, I don't know if you would be able then to go and make this move on Calipari, because you would have probably had to pay so much for replacement for Mark Stoops. I'm not sure you can do $33 million for Calipari right after you make the long-term commitment to Stoops, unless you got the buyout money from A&M. It's just funny to me watching how it plays out. Stoops, if they spend $33 million on Calipari getting rid of him, Stoops is going to be more secure than ever, and he already has a deal through 2031. I mean, this guy is living the life, basically, in Lexington. Andy Staples has argued forever that Kentucky football is the best job going because you can have relatively minimal expectations to meet and make significant money for doing so.
I said Fedora, and now I guess Mac. I've said North Carolina. Because you don't really have to win, do you?
I mean, because look, at $9 million, Stoops is not going anywhere anytime soon.
You get paid, and you can compete, and you can have facilities, and you have at least access to the best athletes and everything else, and you're in the club. You don't really have to win, though.
He's 65-58. He's 65-58, and they gave him an extension through 2031 to hold on to him. John Calipari has won them a national title, has had them consistently. Yes, they have failed in the tournament the last few years, and clearly something's not right. But he has had them consistently among the teams that are supposed to be the best in the country, even if they've hit this weird lull the last few years, and they're ready to run him out the door. And yeah, you're barely over 500, and you're solid through 2031.
Barely over 500. Can I give you some an assignment for about a half hour from now? I want you to close the show. You said he's 65-58, Stoops is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Find 8 victories that he just scheduled. Like, when you end the show, I want you to find, and by the way, there's about 15, 16, 17 of them, and you can't include Vanderbilt, all right? Find victories, because I promise you, if you go back and look at those records, he has scheduled his way to barely over 500. That's just what it is. And I've North Carolina in the past, Georgia with Mark Richt, honestly, until he had to win, he didn't really have to win until they finally got fed up with him. Lost to Florida. He had a 4-0 November, and they're like, nah, you're fired anyway.
Speaking of barely over 500, Mark Stoops' record the last 4 years, 5-6, 10-3, 7-6, 7-6. That's his record the last 4 years, and they gave him an extension through 2031 for $9 million.
I think you'll see that his first 5 years, he got 3 extensions. After the end of the 5th season, he got what was his 3rd. All right, we're tearing it up. And we're redoing you. And so he's been productive and somewhat consistent, just not great.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football and Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states and 60 sticks. Thank y'all for that blessing. So it's all college football, except when we talk women's college basketball, which we're at least going to do just a little bit, because we're going to talk LSU, and you can't help but notice the women's team, and I think they put a hurting on, who was it, Middle Tennessee maybe? But Kim Mulkey was the story, came out hot as it is. And she has never been shy. And I've seen folks go like point. I saw Rafael Palmeiro point his finger, and then later he's like, "Yeah, okay, I was just kind of funning." But I also saw Jose Canseco look around and go, "Hey, sue me. Somebody sue me." And everybody's like, "Oh, Jose's a liar," and then nobody ever sued him. So there, we see all kinds of stances here, but Kim Mulkey says, "I'm going to sue somebody," Washington Post in particular. So we're going to talk college football because Brian Kelly's got a spring practice going on, but there's just too, I mean, it's just too tasty of a story to not bring it up. So it is time to talk just a little bit of LSU, and I want to start with Hunt Palmer, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Hunt, welcome back to the program, brother. How you doing today?
Doing real good. How are you?
No, I'm good. I want to start with a little bit of LSU women's basketball. What is the bottom line? My understanding is that the Washington Post, there's a writer there, pretty solid background, and he's been for 2 years calling around trying to get the scoop on Kim Mulkey and what it's like to be around her and play for her, and she's not happy. Can you give a little more details about this?
Honestly, not a ton more until the story comes out. I know that LSU has been aware of this. And I know that it's, generally speaking, not much of a coincidence when this is dropped in the middle of an NCAA tournament run. So until I can see the story from the Washington Post, I haven't had a ton of reaction to it. I know that Kim is very direct, yep, very much unfiltered, and pretty unpopular in a lot of places. But when you put on purple and gold and win a national championship, you get real popular in South Louisiana. So, of course, everyone here is fiercely defending her, even though there's not anything out there yet. And I guess we're just kind of waiting until this thing comes out. We're expecting it this week, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Win a national championship at a place with a law school, and you're going to have people in your corner. That is absolutely true. Okay, let's jump on to the football field. I'll just ask the most high-level question possible. How's the replacement of a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback going?
I think it's going pretty well. I think my answer comes more so based on the bowl game than it does a couple weeks of spring practice. But obviously, Garrett Nussmeier has been here a long time. It's his fourth year in the program, and he has played in some pretty big spots. He was thrust into the SEC championship game a couple of years, yep, ago. Jaden Daniels got hurt in Tuscaloosa last year, and he had to go in there and play. But those were not expected situations for him. They had a month to get ready to play in the bowl game, and the offense was his, as Jaden said, I'm out of here. And he played very, very well and led a long drive to win the game at the end. So I think there's a lot of confidence. I don't think anybody expects it to look just like Jaden did last year. The running game is going to change as well because of that. But I think there's a lot of confidence in what Garrett Nussmeier can do as the captain of the offense.
All right. Chris Hilton was a name that it may be his time now, and Brian Kelly's talked about him. Give a word on Hilton. Talk a little Kyren Lacy. Maybe is it Kyle Parker? Is he really maybe the third guy? Just walk us through, because LSU's supposed to have monsters at wide receiver every season.
Yeah, numbers aren't an issue. It's just a proven production situation. They went into the transfer portal and got a couple of guys who have produced at other stops, C.J. Daniels at Liberty and Xavier Thomas over at Mississippi State. So those two guys are very much in the mix of older guys who have some skins on the wall. And then, you know, you got Kyren Lacy, who was the number three last year. Can he be a one? We'll see. I think he's got an opportunity to be that guy. You mentioned Chris Hilton, who is an elite speed guy. I mean, just tons of speed, but he's been buried on the depth chart behind Brian Thomas, yep, and Malik Nabers and those folks. And also, he's been hurt a lot of his time at LSU, but it's his fourth year, and he's kind of poised for a bit of a breakout. Shelton Sampson and Kyle Parker are the youngsters. Kyle Parker is a little more undersized, but a really good route runner, and Shelton Sampson's kind of the freak athlete. He's got a lot of Terrace Marshall in him. He's 6'5". He's a five-star recruit, jumps real well. So they have a lot of guys. It's just not a lot of guys that have done a lot in the SEC to this point.
All right, so Will Campbell and Emory Jones are both studs, and they're going to be third-year offensive tackles. And the reason I want to ask you about this is, like, if you go from being a 26-year-old NFL player to a 29-year-old, for instance, there's no, like, you're already a grown man. There is a massive, massive difference physically from an 18 to a 21-year-old, and these kids were already good players, like when they were freshmen thrown out there. Talk about what maybe inside the building they think's possible for those two.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, I've never seen a true freshman come in as an early enrollee and the head coach identifying him and saying, hey, 2 weeks into spring practice, yeah, that's the left tackle. We'll figure out the other four spots, but he's going to play left tackle. That was in – March of his first semester on campus with Will Campbell. So he's been fantastic. Didn't allow a sack last year. And Emory Jones on the other side has been great as well. And that's kind of where things start on the offensive line. But you also return a couple of other starters there on the inside as well. So we've got Garrett Dellinger back, Miles Frazier's back as well. So you're just replacing your center as an offensive line. And they were good in pass protection last year, and then Jaden kind of made up for some other things. But there were times where LSU could not run the ball on command. They could not run it at all on Florida State. They did not run it at all with the running backs against Alabama. That's got to change. They're going to have to do some things differently in the running game. It was a lot of zone read stuff last year. Probably going to be more, I'll use my air quotes here, a little more traditional this year with some pulling and some counters and traps and some powers. But they're going to have to do some of that to help Garrett Nussmeier out, because he's not going to run for 1,100 yards like Jaden Daniels did.
You know, there are times when I give Josh Williams so much credit, because he went from like sixth or seventh team as a freshman to like got led the team in rushing, and now he's still hanging around. Is he going to outlast everybody and maybe be the leading rusher again this year?
I think it's very possible. At this time last year, they had 8 running backs on the roster. Going through spring practice right now, there's really only one, Caleb Jackson. Josh Williams is here, but he's been banged up a little bit, and he's been in so many spring footballs that it's not necessary for him to get a ton of reps.
Oh, he don't need that garbage. Nah.
Exactly. It's just about Caleb Jackson, and they're waiting on Caden Durham to come in this class in the summer. So, yeah, Josh Williams would be my bet to start the game against USC, but they're really excited about Caleb Jackson as well. He got limited touches last year as a freshman, but he's got the biggest upside on this team. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and I remember Caleb. I asked you about him. I asked somebody that I had seen like just little teacups of Caleb Jackson last year. I was like, folks, he's going to be the next one. Like, he really looks right. All right, wrapping up, Hunt Palmer again, every day 104.5 ESPN. All right, is it true, Harold Perkins, unchained, go get the quarterback, young man? Is that going to happen this season?
Some, but they're also going to move him inside in earnest. Blake Baker is going to coach the linebackers, and that's one of the first things that came out in the interview portion of spring football. Yeah, they're going to work him very much on the inside next to Greg Penn, and that's something that they're going to look into. But there's no doubt in a lot of spots they will get him down on the line of scrimmage, and he'll be going after the quarterback, because that's what he's very, very good at. But you do have to develop the other part of his game for the next level. I know LSU fans get cranky when I say that, because they don't care about the next level. I don't care what he does for the Vikings. I want him to play for LSU. And there's a part of that, but you also have to take care of your 5-star recruits when they come in and make sure that they are ready for the next level. So it'll be a couple different roles for Perkins, but he'll be out there.
Wrapping up, our LSU truest reporter, Hunt Palmer, 104.5 ESPN, Baton Rouge. Okay, I asked you, who is LSU's best corner? You're supposed to say somebody like Mo Claiborne, Patrick Peterson or such. Who's the best corner come week one in Baton Rouge this year?
I don't know. Corey Raymond's got a lot of work on his hands. He's got a ton of players. The question is, who's ready to step forward? I think they have really liked Ashton Stamps from the second he got here. He wasn't the most highly rated recruit, but he was out there early as a true freshman playing corner. Now, the results for anybody who played corner at LSU last year were not very good at all. They've got to change that in a hurry. I think Stamps is probably the guy that they like the most, but they've got 7, 8, 9 guys they can run out there. Just a matter of which ones are ready to go, and that's Corey Raymond's job.
Man, I got used to, like, somebody leaves, I'm like, next, and the next is Stingley. You know, next, the next is Ricks, and that's just not what it is, brother. Hunt, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
You bet. Always happy to.
Hunt Palmer, 104.5 ESPN, Baton Rouge there. Appreciate him coming on. Full day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. If you were listening early, Connor Riley, Dog Nation came on, Gerard Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. It's a Rivals thing. Again, Hunt Palmer. So, again, Duncan Newsmaker line. Appreciate everybody making time to join us as LSU's still rolling through. Maybe how many practices have they had? A couple of weeks of it already. And so they've already had their spring break, obviously, as well. So, they've got new coordinators, but like, it even goes deeper than that. They've got 3 new coordinators. And it's not even special teams. I'm talking about 2 on offense. And so there's just a lot to digest that, I mean, it looks good in spring. It's supposed to, kind of, isn't it? And you have guys like Hilton, who's now is an old man, who's tall and runs really, really fast. And he came in with the 2 that are going to be first-round picks. Brian Thomas, he will go no later than, I'm going to say, 23. And I may be a little heavy on that. Like, he may go earlier. But I'll say no later than 23. So that means that LSU is losing The two guys who were top 23 draft picks in the NFL, a transfer, and then it was Hilton, I believe, was the fourth kid. And so now it's his turn. He's outlasted Josh Williams. I'm last, outlast. I ain't leaving. I am going to be here until Dr. Josh Williams, if that's what it takes. I am going to get that job back. And so he is handling his business. So I appreciate Hunt coming on again from ESPN Baton Rouge. Going to take a quick break, come back, and we will wrap up on this Monday next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It doesn't seem lost in any moment. There are some things fundamentally tying it all together that I think can continue to he can continue to benefit from. I think Brock has, you can see Brock being in the being the next year, just confidence in where he's supposed to go, what he's supposed to do. He's only going to get better as utilizing the fundamentals.
Mike Norvell, Florida State head coach. He's talking about quarterback Brock Glenn. He was the kid who last year, Norvell kind of looked around and was like, go get you some. Let's see how this goes. It was Jordan Travis, and then against North Alabama in the almost season finale, he tore his knee up. And then Tate Rodemaker came in, and he was ineffective and then got a concussion. Was that it? And so ahead of the ACC title game, hey, Brock, walk with me. And now normally that's, look, we've decided to go in another direction. It was, Brock, I know that none of us had this on our radar. I know that this was never part of the plan. You're starting Saturday night. And so he started and went the whole way against Louisville. And was it a little much for him against a Louisville team that was rough and tumble, especially right up on the line of scrimmage? They were salty, folks, man. That's how they won. That was their season. When they were at their best, it was when Jordan was playing, and they could play that way on offense, like really play that way. He's one of the best running backs in America. But they were tough, and it showed. 8 of 21 passing the ball for 55 yards. I don't know how much you were able to – I'm not trying to be – like, it's not easy. And the guy, by the way, was a starting quarterback in a victorious ACC championship game. It was kind of gruesome. And Keon Coleman played. Like, we need to include all that, right? Johnny Wilson played. Like, they all played that night. Trey Benson, you know, everybody played. Against Georgia, not quite as much. So it was not a perfect, wonderful experience. And I've never in my – like, I've seen teams have undefeated regular seasons. And even in the advent of a conference championship game, which 92 is what I've got, Roy Kramer back in the day saying, now there's a rule, and it doesn't say it's just for them. Just says you got to have extra teams. I can't remember an undefeated team – ever going into a postseason where it was just, you knew what was going to happen. And it just big, poof. Like they didn't even get to that. Like Florida State, very unfair in my estimation. I don't know, Heath may disagree. Were you a student in 95 or 96?
Yeah.
Okay. Florida State, when I say they beat Florida, there were these two guys, Peter Boulware and Raynard Wilson. And, like, there could have been charges filed after what they did in that Florida game to Danny Werfel. And so Spurrier had his say, and maybe he would have gotten the calls in the second time. I heard that Florida State team, I mentioned this before, had like 25 guys get food poisoning. And so, and Spurrier was a great coach, and Danny Werfel, and the receivers. And so they went to New Orleans, and they had to play him again. And Florida just dropped a sack of bricks on the Seminoles. That was different. Until like the middle of the third quarter, I was still holding out that my Florida State play was going to win that night. Folks, as the ACC championship game was wrapping up, you could already see people releasing their predictions and like with a lot of backup behind it. Like as that Saturday night, we put our head on the pillow, you could go onto Twitter and see people explaining how, Folks, Florida State season is over. They are not going to the playoffs. That's not happening. And so it unfolded exactly that way. And I can't give you another example of a team that had a truly great season that you're what should be next in every single case. What is next is, all right, we get our shot. Even Auburn in 04, folks, it was a two-team playoff. It sucked, but you looked around and you're like, well, yeah, there are two others, and they're USC and Oklahoma, and we did play Bowling Green, so yeah, and they might have played Citadel too there. Yeah, so I guess I kind of get it. Didn't like it, but you kind of get it. You're a Florida State fan, you're saying, F that. We're 13-0. And it just, it was over that night. Everybody could look at Tallahassee and go, whoosh, and Brock Glenn was at the center of it. Kid that I was told, honestly, I was like, all right, so what's up for the bowl game? And I was told they honestly do like Brock Glenn. He didn't have a chance, folks. He was throwing a cup of water on a forest fire. So,
yeah, no doubt that for him, just it was way too much to ask for him or them to be able to compete in that game. All right, so Chuck, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. If you were doing an ESPN list of like the top 15 people who might get into some sort of controversy, stir people up, I don't think you would come up with Reese Davis's name on that list. Reese Davis is normally a solid pro. There's a reason he succeeded Fowler, and it was fairly seamless with him succeeding Fowler on game day.
Yeah, and he's basically the play-by-play of the studio, not the color analyst. He's not set up for the shots that would get you in trouble.
Yeah, Reese is not normally dropping bombs. Over the weekend, though, Reese Davis found himself in the middle of a little bit of a firestorm, and it's something that I think is going to matter a whole lot when we head towards the fall with regards to trying to figure out this new world where before betting was something that was talked about a little bit, but it wasn't necessarily like a core part of the content. You know, you'd have Felica, for example, make a few picks in the game, but it was normally as much about the analysis as it was about the pick. It wasn't the, hey, we're going to get you rich necessarily. Well, now, of course, in the last year, ESPN has done their deal to put their branding on betting. It's not just we're going to make picks. Now it's ESPN Bet. Yep. They're not in every state, but they are in a certain number of states promoting their specific betting partnership.
It's like what they tried to do with a cell phone, except this one's working.
And so over the weekend, Reese Davis had this woman named Erin Dolan, who is a betting analyst for ESPN, do a segment, and at the end of the segment, she had made some case for whatever her pick was, and Reese says, you know what? Some would call this wagering gambling. The way you sold it, I think what it is a risk-free investment. Now, he's obviously joking about the idea that, well, yeah, but you've convinced me. Hey, no way. You know, sounds like a sure thing. He's not saying that in the context of marketing. He's just saying it like somebody joking, like you and I might joke, doing
got me sold,
an interaction.
I'm putting the mortgage on it.
However, in the context of we are a betting enterprise, you can't say risk-free without it being, you know, risk-free, which does not exist in this world. And so Reese Davis had to literally walk it back on social media.
Boy.
It turned into a big firestorm. And I'm just wondering, when we get to football season, Chuck, I mean, look, first of all, they miss Felica enormously on that show. I feel bad sometimes because I feel like I'm beating up on this guy. Over the weekend, on his Twitter account, branded as ESPN Bet, Stanford Steve, the new guru of picks on ESPN, released the following plays. Akron to cover 12.5 points in their opening round game against Creighton. Your final 77-60. That would be a loss. Okay, well, we're coming back. Under 172.5 in College of Charleston against Alabama. Not close. That was a bad, bad miss on that one. 109-96. Again, he was on the under 172, 109-96. So you got a guy who is your pick guru.
And he went like 41% in college football season, I remember. Like it was
oh, I don't
very,
even think it was that good.
It was very not good.
He was terrible
very
all year.
Very not good.
And I have actually heard him on podcasts. He's not always this bad. But for whatever reason, when he gives out picks on the air, It's terrible. I'm really curious to see, Chuck, how they're going to do this, because, look, the facts are there are a lot of people who like to bet. But there's also a lot of people who just like sports for sports, and they don't want to gamble, and they don't want to hear about gambling all the time. And between if a guy like Reese Davis, who's a total pro, just talking casually can step on a possible trouble spot, and then you've got this other guy that you're paying to be your gambling guru who misses left and right all the time. I don't know, man. I hope it's not going to get ugly this fall, but I suspect with them being now the betting purveyors, I think it's going to get real ugly.
We also live in a world where there are poop disturbers. I mean, they're like most of us, what will we do if we see some on the front lawn? We'll walk around it. There are people in this world who will just kick it up in the air and try to spread it as wide. Like when you hear someone say, risk-free, and really, I thought it was serious. Did you really think it was serious? Smart enough to listen to a gambling podcast, but you thought that they were serious. World we live in. Back tomorrow with more.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.